And I will not get to worship tonight. I know that for certain. And matter of fact, I may not get to it till a couple of weeks because praise is really powerful. We're going to talk about praise and the importance of praise and what God does with our praise. So get ready to take some notes and write down some things. I'm sorry I didn't have my outline for you. I've been busy all day long working our bookstore. Michael, where's Michael Canada? Roaming the parking lot. Our bookstore will be open in about 2 weeks' time. But we do know it'll be before the end of the month, at least a week before the end of the month. And we're getting that together and getting some books in here and Christian tapes so you can start listening to some good stuff. Some people don't like to listen to the Christian radio station because they don't play any Christian music, or they play very little, and the kind that they play may not be for our generation. And so people use an alternative. Some turn to 102. I know I'm telling the truth. I turn to 99.9. At least it's easy listening. Start spreading the news. Y'all may think that's comical, but I love that kind of music. You know, we'll even today. Now that doesn't mean that I'm not black. I mean, I'm black. I can enjoy all kinds of music. I like some country western music. I mean, Charlie Pride's my man. I just don't go for some of the stuff with the lyrics that are so out of touch. And so people misunderstand the purpose of music, and they use it for the sake of causing havoc and the wrong influence. But music is a blessing. God gave us the ability to sing. We didn't get it from Satan. Hello. We didn't get it from Satan, and he gave us the ability. The Israelites didn't just sing about God, they sung to their spouses as well. They sung about one having victory, like David when he came back. They sung about David killing Goliath and Saul not killing anybody. But you got to put things in this proper perspective. You don't sing about sex and all that other stuff. You just sing about things that are really wholesome and for the glory of God. And if I sing a song to my wife, that is still to the glory of God, because marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. Are you listening to me? I mean, when we go to bed tonight sometimes, and you know, we don't want to be backed up by a gospel trio, you know. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know, I want something that'll make my wife, so I can talk behind the word, make her want to quiver. Hello. We're talking about praise and worship. And let me just quickly say, I pray that I'm not offending anyone, but when you start getting into things that you don't understand, it becomes legalistic and religious, and you don't have a spiritual basis for what you're talking about. I have a spiritual basis for everything I'm sharing with you. That's one thing I put my emphasis on, is getting information from the Word. If I can't get it from the Word, I won't say it. But I can get it from the Word. I can back up what I say from the Word. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, let's talk about why praise and worship. And of course, we're still on the subject of understanding things pertaining to the church. And I want this to bless you tonight. Turn your Bibles over to Psalms 100. Hallelujah. You ready for the word tonight, right? Amen. I hope everybody has a Bible tonight. Glory to God. Why praise and worship? It's beautiful to be able to praise God and to know why you're praising Him. There are churches that put a lot of emphasis on praising, but they have no knowledge with the praise, or coupled with the praise. They don't have a lot of scriptural or biblical knowledge. So they're excellent in their praise, and God honors their praise. But many of them are lacking the intelligence of the word. They're lacking that ability to be able to know what the word offers them. And you can go to many churches, some churches, most of the churches are that I'm talking about are small, and you can go in there, but they can praise God, man, from here the kingdom come. And I mean, they're good at it. They have no problem in sweating and sweating out of their clothes and their hair being messed up. They just love praising God. How many of you came from churches like that? All right. They just love getting down praising the Lord. But when it came to knowledge, biblical knowledge, they didn't have that. I've heard people say many times, boy, I love this church, man, because they really praise God in that church. Well, it's so good if there's a church, when there's a church that praises the Lord and also has knowledge concerning the word. And so we want to put emphasis not only on the word, but on what the word says concerning, in this particular subject, praises. Why praises? So Psalms 100, then the first, starting at the very first number, Psalms 100 is actually the Psalms 100, the division of Psalm, and then you go to the number, which is 1. That's how it should actually be read. 101. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." That lands means nations. "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Underline the word courts, because there were several courts before you went into actually the temple itself. All right. The fifth verse says, "For the Lord is good." Everybody say, "For the Lord is good."
For the Lord is good.
"For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Let me read the fourth verse over again, or the fourth number. It says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." King David had the key that opened the door to the temple of the Most High God. David learned through his experiences that praise brings deliverance. How many of you know I'm telling the truth in that?
Amen.
However, David understood that praise is a type of offering or a form of a way to get delivered. It's a key. It's a tool that God uses to deliver his people. When no other method works, praise will work as a key to unlock the deliverance of the Lord. Praise is an act of the will and the heart, as well as the physical body, to render to God recognition through audible and visible acclamation. Now, what does this mean? Praise, unlike worship, will be heard and seen. Worship is not necessarily heard and is not necessarily seen. But praise should be heard and seen. It is the response or a command of God for us to praise the Lord. Psalms 149 says, "Praise ye the Lord." It is a command given to the body of Christ to praise the Lord. This is done in one of the following ways. Shouting with a loud voice, and the word is shabak, shabak in the Hebrew word for praise. which means addressing in a loud tone, dancing, clapping, playing instruments, or singing, which can be heard. Now, to sit down quietly and not give praise to the Lord or to do it inwardly is not the scriptural way for praise. Hello. To sit back and to not involve yourself or to involve all that is within you and your limbs and your mind, your eyes, and not involve that in praise to God is not giving praise to God. You cannot sit down quietly and say you're praising the Lord. Hello. Because the word, the Hebrew word, is shabak. It means a loud, audible sound of praise or a sound of recognition to the Lord. Are you listening? So it is not comely to sit down and say, well, I'm just praising the Lord and I'm not here to impress you and you don't have to hear me. Oh, yes, according to the word. It says, come before his presence with singing. Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness. It talks about singing and clapping. All of that is important and vital to praise. What person goes to a basketball game and sits down there with his favorite team, makes a goal or a slam dunk, and just says, I'm praising them? Are you listening to me? Who said, when you go to, how many of you been to a public arena where there's a basketball or football game going on? Isn't it awesome, man, the energy in that place, the noise that goes forth? Isn't it something that drives you in this? Even if you're quiet, I've seen the quiet people stand up and shout. I remember I thought at first, my wife was basically quiet and shy until we went to a wrestling match. And she was out there, kill him, what are you doing? And I was sitting down, what are you doing? Sit down. People just mistaken the term praise and think when rather that be a Presbyterian church, Catholic church, or any other church that doesn't emphasize audibly praising God, that is not scripture at all. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to say something. Out loud that God will recognize as praise. It's like trying to tell your spouse, I praise her. I love her, but I don't have to tell her. I feel it in here, so I don't tell her. No, when you praise God, it is something out of recognition for who God is. You begin to give him glory and praise, and it's not something that women only do. Men. I don't care how a woman looks so much more together when they do it. You have to do it, men. You've got to lead by examples. Now, I'm not talking about you holding your hands the way a woman holds her hands and all. Women be up, palms up, looking all sweet. Men, do it like you're under arrest, put your hands like you got your hands on the walls, legs spread it, Y'all know what I'm talking about. don't say that, Anthony. You been there. your hands up there. Well, when you lift your hands, the Bible says to lift up holy hands in the sanctuary. When you're lifting up hands, it's an act of surrender. So when the police comes to you and he says, hold it, the first thing you do, he don't have to tell you to put your hands up. When he says, hold it, you're going to... Because you're going to let him know you don't have anything. Don't come. I'm not Rodney King. I will give up. Hello. People misunderstand. So when you lift your hands, it's an act of surrender. And it does something for you. Imagine offering yourself in praise to God because Jesus the Son did the exact same thing. He offered himself up to the true and living God, but he offered himself in terms of body and life for your ransom. When you enter into the gate, now you got to understand, I wish I had a view so I can point to some things. When you talk about the temple, there was a gate around the outer gates or the outer part of the temple. And the first part that you would go into was called the most outer part, or the most outer park or place before you went to the outer parts. And each part of the tabernacle meant something. So when he says over in the fourth verse, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You enter into one gate. There's only one gate to enter in when you go into the temple of God, the original temple or the tabernacle that they made. It was considered the eastern gate. That was the only gate for entrance. When you entered into the gate, you will begin to feel a freedom from yourself and from the cares of the world. Your focus is now on praising Jesus, not because you feel excited, but because you recognize him as Lord, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When you begin to let go, the Spirit of the Lord is allowed to refresh and strengthen you at times when you need it the most. So when you go into the first enter into the gate, because it says gates, when you enter into the gates, the first court, the most outer court, you're still giving him thanks for recognition. You see, most of you don't realize, over in Matthew, when Jesus said, taught men how to pray, he said, pray our Father who art in heaven. In other words, we're recognizing who our Father is. We're giving him thanks for who he is. When it says, hallowed be thy name, the word hallow comes from the word hallelujah. And it means to lift up God or to praise God. So that's how you should enter into prayer. Don't just go into prayer, Father, give me, give me, give me, give me. But you enter in recognizing your Heavenly Father, giving him thanks. You begin to thank him for who he is and what he's done for you. And this is how you go into the house of God. You enter into his gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
So what do you have to thank the Lord for? Think about it. You've got so much to thank God for. Thanksgiving is a form of praise that brings forth liberty. Praise with thanksgiving is the acceptable access into the presence of God. And when entering into the tabernacle, there was, as I said, only one way, symbolizing one way to God. In the Old Testament, that one entrance was a type or shadow of how we were to go to God, or how we are to go to God today. There is only one way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the gate. I am the door. I am the sheepfold. I am the way you come in. And that way going into the tabernacle, that one gate, that one entrance, was the only way that you can go in. There was no other way of going into the place where God was dwelling. It was custom that when you went into that gate and you finished and went through the process, you would leave another way. You never came in the same way you left out. That represented that when you come in with the cares of the world on your shoulders and the sins of the world and the weights on you, you will come in one way and you leave out another. You'll leave free and delivered. Are you listening? So everything is symbolic in the Old Testament of why we do certain things today. And it's very clear. I wish other churches would teach some of these things, but it's very clear that the whole Old Testament practically is symbolic of why we do certain things today. So as they went into the first gate, the outer courts, the most outer courts, they begin to give thanksgiving unto the Lord. And as they entered into the outer gates, outer courts, they begin to again give thanks, to the Lord. When you enter the eastern gate, the first outer court represented the world. The next outer gate or outer courts represented the physical man or the body. Are you listening? When you went into the first, it's symbolic of coming out of the world into the presence of God. That's all it is. But when you go come out of the world and you go into the presence of God, there's a way that you approach God. There's a way that you approach your Heavenly Father, the Majesty, the King, the Lord. As I said, the outer courts represented the physical man or the body, and you always ended with praise. Praise is a powerful, powerful tool that God, it moves God in a way that unlike anything else moves the Lord other than faith. Tears don't move God. He sees them, but it doesn't move them. Are you listening? Faith moves God. Praise moves God. Now, why does praise move them? Because you are not, you are human. It's impossible for you to praise God and think on the cares that you have. You are a person that you can only think on one thing at one time. I don't care who you are. You may be thinking that, thinking on several things in the span of a minute, but you can only think and focus on one thing at one time. You're a human being. So when you are in the presence of the Lord, God requires that your focus and your attention is on the King. Praise is powerful. When one enters the gate to praise God, two things takes place. One, yokes are broken because the garment of praise is replaced, or the garment the garments of heaviness is replaced by the garments of praise. The second thing, matter of fact, turn real fast before I go to the second one. Isaiah the 61, first chapter in the third verse. It says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, an oil of the joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Your garments of praise replaces the garments of heaviness. It replaces the garments of heaviness. And you know how it feels to be heavy laden. And that's why Jesus said, my burdens are light. My yoke is easy and my burdens are light. When you begin to praise God, it brings deliverance. Praise always brings deliverance. Look at somebody and say, praise always brings deliverance.
Praise always brings deliverance.
Say it to yourself. I want you to get it in your spirit so when something comes against you, you'll know that praise is always the way to get you out of your fears and your intimidations, to give God praise. The second thing that happens, yokes are broken because the spirit of self-pity is replaced by words of exhortation to God. Let me say that again. Yokes are broken because the spirit of self-pity is replaced with the words of exhortation to God. Instead of complaining and talking about how things are going, you just say, oh, I just thank God, my God, that all things are well. Oh, I'm just moving in the things of the Lord. I called a person the other day. I hadn't spoke with this person in some time, and when I called them, I knew about their condition, and I said, hey, praise God, how are you? Well, you know how my sugar is acting up, and I'm having a hard time. And I said, but praise God. I mean, God is blessing you, huh? Yeah, but, you know, I'm just having a hard time. The doctor said I have to go down to a 1,600 calorie day. And, you know, and I'm saying, well, just praise the Lord. Yeah, but... We always like to say, yes, but. In other words, I still want to focus on these things. They're my stronghold. I'm enjoying them. I'm enjoying talking about this so people will feel sorry for me and I pity myself. And I just tell you, well, pray for me. What's the sense of praying for you? Hello. It's like the woman that came up for prayer, and she said, "I want you to pray for this pain. I mean, I'm going through some excruciating pains, and I just want you to pray for me. But I just sense the Lord is using this to take me through something." I said, "Well, if God is using you to take you through it, why do you want me to pray that the Lord stop the pain?" Hello, church. That's our concept. We misunderstand the whole thing. If that's the case, if God is trying to teach you something, why are you trying to get God to take that thing off of you? Okay? But that's not how God operates, is it? No, that's not how God operates. I don't care what problems you're going through, praise is always fitting. It always opens the door for God's deliverance. You know the story about Paul and Silas in prison after being beaten practically half to death and thrown into the dungeon, the lower parts of the prison where there were rats and it was just so filthy down there, and they had been beaten, whipped 39 times with or given 39 lashes, and they beat them with the kind of straps that had metal, the same kind they had beat Jesus with, that every time the metal hit the skin, it pulled the top layer of the skin off. They were beaten bad, literally bad. But at midnight, they began to do what?
Praise.
And an angel came and delivered them. See, praise always brings deliverance. If you'll learn to praise God, I mean through the most difficult times of temptation. If you feel, and just think, when temptation wants to come and you to get angry or to fall, just start singing, "Oh, glory to God, He's my strength, He's my refuge. Hallelujah, I just bless my Lord." Just start making up songs to the Lord. I'll guarantee you that temptation will begin to diminish before your eyes. Can't stay. Part of the sacrifice of praise is directing our thoughts toward the Lord. You can't properly praise God with your mind on your cares. God enjoys your praise. He enjoys your worship. And not only that, not only does He enjoy it, but He rewards your praise. Everybody feels good when they're praised. You know, what person feels like you're trying to, well, some people try to butter you up, but but most people, you feel good when people are praising you, when they're sincere. Don't you? And it's not that you need it to go on. I pray that it's not that you need it to go on. But when that praise goes to God, God doesn't need it to go on. Because if you don't, He'll always get the rocks too. That's His word. If you don't cry out to the Lord, He's going to get Mount Franklin to start praising Him. That's His word. Now, can you imagine walking or driving down the freeway and all of a sudden you hear the mounts, "Praise the Lord"? I'm sure it would have a heavy voice if it is singing. Praise God. But God rewards our praise with deliverance. Turn your Bibles quickly over to 22 and 3. It says, "But thou art," Psalms 22 and 3, "but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel," or the praises of His people. Psalms 22 and 3. I guess I'm going too fast for you. I'll take my time. I'm trying to get through this first part, though. Glory to God. Psalms 22 and 3, but thou art holy. Everybody say, thou art holy. And we know that that's talking about God. God is holy. And thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, or the praises of his people. In other words, God dwells in the praises of his people. He is the Holy One. He sits down and he basks. It's like showers in our praises. So when you're out of your heart giving praise and glory to God and boasting in how great God is just enjoying it all. You're his people. The Bible says we're the sheep of his pastures. It's him that made us and not we ourselves. And if there's anybody we should give praise to, it should be to God.
Amen.
Amen. Quickly turn to Psalm 33 and I'll take my time. Psalms 33. Amen. It's a lot on this subject, so I'm just scratching the surface tonight. Psalms 33 and 1 says, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. People have this concept, I've got to be perfect in order to be righteous. You know, that's not it. You're righteous because of what Christ has done. It's not because of what you've done. It's because of what he's done. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have no righteousness of your own. And if you do, it's as filthy rags before the Lord. God doesn't even consider it. You are the righteousness of God because of what Christ has done. So whenever you feel dirty and the devil is trying to remind you of your past and your sins, just tell him, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not what I've done, it's what he's done. Now get out my face. Are you listening to me? You see, you got to know what to stand on. You have to know what to stand on. Because you're going to, I was sharing with some people just the other night, you know, I mean, Satan still tries to come up and tell me I'm the Antichrist. Is anybody in the same boat? He still tries to tell me that I'm the one talking in tongues. I tell him, yeah, I am. But the Spirit of God gives the utterance. You see, he's not going to cease from doing certain things. I just got to know how to reply to him. Get him out my face. So when he says, hey, you can't praise God, you can say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Christ took my sins. He paid the ransom for me, and he's on the cross, so therefore I'm free. He went to the cross and went to the lower parts of the grave and led captivity captive and came back and made me free, and he gave gifts unto men, so I'm free. I'm free to praise the Lord. I'm free to give him praise. So it says, sing joyfully to the Lord. Now think about the word joyfully. Let me give you an example. I can better do it by showing you. This is not joyfully singing. You turn my mourning into dancing again. You lifted my sorrow. I can't stay silent. I must sing for his joy has come. Oh. Is that joy? I hope you all don't be doing. You turned my morning. Did you leave the oven on, baby? Into dancing again. That is not joyfully singing. To joyfully sing. You turn my mind. I mean, getting into it. It's a display of emotions. When David said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, he was not talking about his spirit. He was talking about his intellect, his will, his body, and he said, all that is within me is focused on praising God, blessing God. everything he put into worship, into praising the Lord. He put all of his energy into praising the Lord. So he joyfully displayed the praise of God. So when you seen him with his hand lifted up, and it was a mighty thing because Israel loved David so much because he loved to praise God. What a perfect example to have your leader praising the Lord, just praising God. Not ashamed or afraid to jump. The Bible says to leap for joy. If you don't have joy, leap for it. Hello, somebody. Folks, you tell people today, let's leap for joy. Everybody else, hallelujah, hallelujah. Folks, that looks stupid. This whole church is stupid. I ain't coming back here. But we know why we're leaping. You understand? We know why we're praising. So when people come into church on Sundays, and they're not accustomed to this because they're accustomed to going into some traditional services, and the man or the person gets up there, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing Grace. You know why they sing like that? The deacon is hung on. And you wonder why folk don't have any joy in that church when they come out. Hello. Now, I'm being comical, but it's real. I'm telling you, it's real. It is very, very real. So people will come in here and they're not accustomed to that because, you know, they're looking for those slow songs, or if it's a fast song, you know, the choir sings it. You know, the congregation don't get into it. You know, I've been to churches, and man, churches that were all white, and I mean, they were enjoying the Lord. Even though it may have been a Presbyterian church, they were singing those hymns like they were living it. What a friend we have in Jesus. I mean, they were looking at each other. Hey, all my sins and grief to bear. Hey, yeah, yeah. They were enjoying it, man. So I got into it. Hey, what a privilege to care. Hey, Tom. You know. So now when they come in here, they hear us singing songs they're not accustomed to. You know, you don't find congos in most churches, bongos. You can go to most traditional churches, you don't have drums. You will have an organ or a piano, and you won't have the guitar or bass. And we're talking kicking the bass, you know, a boom, 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 boom. And we're up here, yeah, get down. You know, folks like, this ain't church. I remember, what's his name, Mohammed, when he first came, he said and he heard us singing some songs, he was saying, this is the world. This church is like the world. I was like, where you get that from, brother? We're just praising the Lord the way the Bible says. Amen? You know, now it may be a big difference between some churches that you may come from. They praise God, but they swing from chandelier to chandelier. You know, they're hitting the back of the benches, man. They're just running on back of benches, brother, crawling on each other, rolling and on the floor. That's why they get the name Holy Rollers. Now that's not biblical, so I don't have to roll. Let's just stick to the Bible way of doing things. Amen? Amen. But the Bible says to sing joyfully to the Lord because you're the righteous. You're the righteous. You've got a right to sing joyfully to the Lord. It is fitting. It's comely. It's upright to praise the Lord. The second verse says, praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Look at the third verse. Sing to him with a new song. Play skillfully. Let me stop on the word skillfully. You see, some people don't realize it's important that when you're doing praise and worship and music is going on or people are singing, to stay on the same note. I don't know about you, but folk break my concentration. You know, we're bless the Lord, folk. Bless the Lord, all my stuff. Brother, can you, Lord? Okay, the note is C. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. You're like, brother, come on. You see some people in the choir, they're doing like this because the person next to them getting them off key. It's hard to concentrate, and especially when folk just start going wild. Hitting you, you know, hallelujah! Bless the Lord! Swinging. Folk ducking. Going around and try to catch you. Get a little skill in it, you know? Hey, 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 yeah! Hey, hey! I know what I'm talking about. Folks think they can't praise God with their eyes open, so they close them and run into everything. You got to tell them, open your eyes. But it's not the same. Yes, it is. Oh, yeah. Oh, Y'all like that, huh? Hey! It says to play skillfully and shout for joy. Psalms 147, real fast. Psalm 147. Glory to God. Now, Psalm 147 and 1 says, praise the Lord. Do you have it? All right. Praise the Lord, how good it is to sing praises to our God, how pleasant and fitting to praise him. It's a command, man, it's comely. Praise is always proper. It says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. It is right and is commanded for us to praise God. It not only blesses God, but it does something for the praiser. God never just tells you to do something without it doing something for you. People just don't understand it. They think, you know, it's like the rich young ruler. God told him to give. He thought God was trying to make him poor. You see, whatever God tells you to do is something in it for you. It does something for you. If he tells you to praise him, it will deliver you. Over in Psalm 67, turn over there, and I'm going to be closing with this passage of scripture. Psalm 67 and 5 says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Now, let me just stop for a moment. You know, you just think about how good God is and what he's done for you. And when the Israelites came across the Red Sea, Miriam took a tamarind. She started beating it and just started praising God. Now today, it seems as though people are a little bit or very apprehensive about showing emotions outwardly. But they can do it everywhere else. They can do it on the streets, in the bars, at public arenas, or arguing with their spouse. But when it comes to literally praising the Lord, giving God the glory, they have a very difficult time doing that. It says, after you praise God, after you learn to just give God the glory and the praise, it says, the sixth verse, Here's the blessing in it for you. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Blessings, listen, blessings are incentives and rewards for acts of obedience. Say that with me. Blessings are incentives and rewards for acts of obedience. Look at somebody and tell them that. Look at somebody else and tell them. Oh my Lord, help us, Father. We're in unity tonight, aren't we? Blessings are incentives and rewards for acts of obedience. So do you want increase in your life, in your family relationship, on your job, in your bank account? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, to some people that are not really in love with God, you may offend them. You know, they come up to you, hey, how are you? Blessed, brother. Praise God. I'm blessed of the Lord. Hey, you know, hey, we're not in church, brother. You don't have to, you know. Brother, I am the church. Hello. Aren't we the church? Now, that doesn't mean the building. I'm the church. What do you mean? I'm the temple of the living God. God resides in me. So everywhere I go, he resides. And so now, as Romans says, I offer unto him, I not only give him the sacrifice of praise, but I offer him my body. I give him my limbs. I just turn everything over to him. I'm his dwelling place. I present my body as what? Living sacrifice. That's my job. That's your job. That's your job as a believer. You now, God is no longer dwelling in tents or buildings. He's dwelling in the hearts of his people. That was an Old Testament prophecy that he said, no longer will I dwell in tents, or no longer will my word be written on tablets of stone, but it will be written on the canvas of your heart. In other words, you had to read a stone and start doing what the word said on that stone. And that's how it became so difficult for them to live this kind of life. But he said, I'm going to put it in their hearts and turn that heart of stone into a heart of flesh. In other words, it'll be easy for you to live. It's easy for you to live something that's in here. That's why David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, thank you, that I might not sin against you. Hey. So when I praise God, I praise him. And when I praise him, new things begin to happen. New things. God prospers me and brings increase. And so I'm not ashamed and I'm not afraid to praise the Lord. It used to be, and this is the honest to God truth, years ago when we were over on the Barranca, really starting to pick up, we would teach on praise and worship of God. And sometimes we would have more sinners in there, or people that didn't understand what praise and worship was, to control our praise and worship. I would get so angry with our people, and they can tell you, because they would just, you know, like all of a sudden, because somebody else is in there that they've invited to church, they don't want to really let go and praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? I mean, I felt the heart of God and the anger of God in that they wouldn't give God freely what is owed to him. You owe that to him, to just give him that praise and outward expression of releasing your emotion. So it's okay. You know, that's, it's okay if you sweat, man. At least you're doing something. You know, it's just difficult to sit down there and sweat because you're nervous. Might as well get up and sweat for the right thing. Most folks sit down there sweating and hoping nobody will call their name out. Hello, especially when the anointing is moving on me. They're like, please don't call me, please. Great sweats of, drops of sweat just dropping off. And you know they're just moving in their seat. Please don't call me, please. If you go sweat, sweat for the right reason. When you learn to release the praise to God, God will bring an increase into your life. He'll never ask you to do something that he won't reward. That's not the kind of God we serve. He will honor his word. You bless him, he's going to bless you. As you begin to lift him up, as the scripture says, make sure you write those scriptures down. As you lift him up, he's going to bring increase into your life. You need increase. In these last days, you need increase. We're in the last hours of such a crucial time in history that the Lord Jesus may be coming in less than 10 years. Hello. But you all know when he comes, we won't be under, we'll be over. People think when the Lord comes, everything has to be, it will be in disarray. But no, no, it won't happen like that. The Lord is soon to come. And he talked about before his coming, there will be a restoration of all things in the church. That means the same healing that occurred back in Jesus' day and the same miracle is going to start hitting today in the local churches, local assemblies. Are you listening? I told you all the Lord showed me in the coming year, perhaps in less than 6 years, that the smaller the church is, the more that church will dwindle to nothing. The larger the church is, the more it's going to grow. Are you listening to me? We're in a very crucial hour right now. We don't have time to waste. So it's important when folk come in, they see you praising the Lord, and they know why you're praising God. That's why every now and then I let people know, come up and give their testimony. People need to know where you came from, that you were just like them. I mean, I didn't come in this thing wanting to praise God either. I didn't know how. And I thought they looked so silly. I literally, how many of you thought the same thing? You know, I just thought, man, all of that wasn't necessary. Why do they have their hands up? You know, and saying this chemo sabe stuff. I just thought, man, I am in the wrong place, but I couldn't help it. I felt something in that church that I didn't feel anywhere else. Are you listening? So I knew, hey, something was right about this thing. I may not have known God at that time, but I knew something was right. And that's the kind of church that attracted me. And when I got to the word part, oh Lord, help us. It turned my life inside out. When you learn to praise, well, not learn to praise, but when you begin to release your praise and begin to enter his gates with thanksgiving. I'm going to go through the whole tabernacle part of praise and worship. Praise doesn't even begin till you get into the holies of holies. I mean, worship doesn't even begin till you get into the holies of holies. So we've got a while to go. We've got to go to the altar. We have to then go to the lather to wash our hands. See, all of it is symbolic, and I'm going to take you through it. I guarantee you, you'll know why God require of you to pray the way I'm talking about and to praise him the way I'm talking about. Because you'll see that the word in the Old Testament says certain things, and the word in the New Testament fulfilled it. it will be exactly the way it was in the Old Testament. I'll guarantee you, it's right in your word. And we've shared some things like this already, but I want you to know this is the hour. Look at somebody and say, this is the hour.
This is the hour.
Say, I am appointed
and anointed
for such a time as this. There is, look, listen to me, church boy, when I get Sunday, I'm still on time. God's timing. That you are at the in the right place at the right time. Are you listening? I mean, and God is doing something. And he told us that he's going to start moving in our midst. The Holy Spirit is going to start dropping. But that's going to come because of knowledge. He said, my people are destroyed for the lack of it. I'm giving you knowledge, so you're not going to be destroyed. Are you listening to me? You're going to walk out of here with praise and worship, and people are going to look at you and start saying, man, what happened? I used to know you. Man, what? You changed. Did you realize the Holy Spirit's influence on you will change your outside appearance as well? People may think, oh, you know, yes, that's just Pastor Brown. I had a fellow this week. He told me, you know, he said, you got a church of young people. And your church is not going to go very far because young people don't give. Then he said, and they don't have any money to give. I'm telling you the honest God truth. He said, young people don't give. He said, but they're old people. And you see some of these churches, cathedrals, that they're just big and huge because people are just giving in bundles to their church. And he said, when I came there, I was so impressed. He said, good bunch of folk. Young. I saw all the young faces. He said, I saw some lieutenants. And he talked about Vaughn. He said, man, Vaughn is just... the kind of guy, man, if you tell him to run his head into a wall, he'll run his head to a wall. I was just listening to him, and he said, but he won't go very far. How many of you know? That kind of stuff drives me. I'm telling you, I'm driven by things. When you tell me I can't do anything and talk about God's people, especially those that I pastor, we're going to show you just the opposite. You see, the city of El Paso, people right now, I'm telling you something, I'm telling you now, and you'll understand this. Some people of El Paso and the religious sector is watching from afar. And they're saying, I'm going to see how far this young buck is going to go. We're going to see. My wife said, you know, it seemed like we encourage all the other churches, but nobody comes around and encourages us. But it seemed like everybody got something negative to say about us, don't it? But that's all right. Look at somebody and say, that's all right. We are on the right road. Woe unto them, woe unto you when men speak only good about you. Hello. It's okay, but when they don't have a basis for speaking evil against you, I'm telling you, God's going to promote us. It's like, keep talking about me. Keep, oh, please, keep talking before you know we have thousands in here. Souls just at the altar. Keep talking, please. Y'all talk about me. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. Every time, just take notice, every time you put down somebody, God will raise them up.
Yeah.
You may say, boy, you'll never be anything. You're an idiot and you're this. Look at what I got. And boy, a year or two later, that boy is way ahead of you. God has a way of showing you and humbling you through some experiences. I learned, don't talk about people. Don't talk about God's church. God has no respect for a person. I don't care if they talk bad about us. I don't care if they talk bad about you. Don't you return the favor. Are you listening to me? You can speak the word and say, according to the word, this is what they're doing, and that's not right. That's not judging. You're speaking the word. You know a tree by the fruit it bears. But when they come against us, God is going to lift us. And they're going to come to us. And they're going to come and say, how is it that you're doing this? How are you growing? What is the Lord doing down there? You've got, I wish I can tell you some things. I don't have the time now. But God showed me some mighty things that's going to happen this year. That's why I'm telling you, you're in the right place. The influence of the Holy Spirit is all over you. You just, I mean, you don't even sense the full impact of the Holy Spirit on your life. I mean, it is so embossed into your spirit, your innermost being, that He's leading and controlling you. Your whole attitude is changing. The word has taken effect on the lives of people. How many lives have been changed just since you've been coming? I'll guarantee you, before you know it, I remember last year we had a few people in church. I said, this church will never again on Wednesday night be this a few people. I think it was like 15. How many of y'all remember that? I said, never again. Never again. No longer. God, when God showed me the scripture, as we give Him praise, He brings increase. I just started, hey, we got to just start praising the Lord, man. Let's set ourselves free. Let's worship the Lord. Amen. Let's get ready to give. Glory to God.